The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
It's brand new, season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Badatum. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Pennies Going in Raw is a production of iHeartRadio. The opinions expressed in the following podcast are for general informational purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or on any specific security or investment product. It is only intended to provide education and entertainment about the financial industry and the stock market. Enjoy!
On this episode of Pennies Going in Raw, we discuss credit and finding your strategy as a trader without having much success.
You find out life's this game of pennies.
Oh, you guys know we only have a 40% runner. Hello? 40% right is a f***ing killing.
We've been compliant for too long. It's time we go to war.
I don't have a Roth.
Q knows so much about the market that his brain doesn't have enough room for grammar.
Hey, who told me about IDEX? It's going up a shit ton now.
Rob, 4%, baby.
No way.
4%.
You asked the exact same question with two words different.
It's like, f***, man, I just got dick whipped for like 20%, and now that f***er's up like 50.
I bet Warren Buffett never did that.
I'm just making this voice memo to call out unusual whales to a fight.
The pennies we need are everywhere around us.
Pennies.
Going in raw.
Featuring Dan, Deity of Dips,
and Hugh Honey.
Produced by Vinny
and Christian.
Let's go, baby.
Welcome back to another episode of Pennies Going in Raw. Today is Wednesday, November the 24th, and you know it's a weird week. I mean you have things like Tesla and SPY, these crazy ranges, like Tesla down 5% in a day, like SPY going from 360 or 468 to 474. You know, there's quite a big range on a lot of these.
Yeah, I don't want to say that we called it, but we did say that there would be a pretty big disconnect on this low volume SPY. And I mean that's what I honestly continue to expect. And I don't mind when we're inside a range because it just gives a chance for technicals to catch up. So I'm okay with SPY being in a range. But the difficult thing about trading in a range when things are disconnected is that what you usually expect to happen, so for instance, when SPY goes down, Apple and Tesla go down. When there's a disconnect, sometimes there's things that lag really hard, or sometimes they don't even go together. So that's something to keep in mind, especially when we're inside low volume. But overall, you know, I think that the rest of the year there will be tons of opportunities. You know, we talked about it a lot with small caps. Small caps have gotten obliterated pretty hard, and I think after this week, heading into December, things will start to heat up because what big funds do is that they do, you know, they're tax selling, but then they also get ready for the next year, buying up, you know, things into the end of the year that they, you know, like. So I think that's kind of where we're at right now, and we'll see that transition.
Yeah, and you've also seen a lot of these like newer IPOs kind of get crushed. They had like an uptrend, and now it's just kind of like they're so beat down. Do you find like a spot where you're like, oh, okay, maybe these are a good entry again? Or, you know, at what point do you find the price action of an IPO to finally be like, okay, this is definitely the bottom and this reversal's here now? And it's not because, you know, with some of these IPOs, like we always say, I mean, the cost basis just isn't quite there yet. I mean, or not cost basis, but the, you know, the personality doesn't quite exist yet.
Yeah. And part of that is, so there's two things to this. One, the really great thing about IPOs from a trader's perspective is that they can't drop an offering because there would be no point. You know, they're coming to market. You know, they'll already have cash. And then the other thing is that management can't sell. And most of the time, they're inside this really heavy lockup period. So that's like the one perspective. But the other perspective is that these IPOs have a quiet period. And the thing with the quiet period is that, you know, they're not going to release any news during that quiet period. With DATS, what we saw is that we saw DATS, because DATS is a social media app, you were able to see longs and traders who were holding the stock as a swing. They were able to find out their own DD because, you know, it was an app. There's so much information out there. So even though the quiet period wasn't for, you know, a few weeks out, there was so much social chatter and there was so much DD being floated around different social media apps that, and you were actually able to use the app. So yeah, that was like the other
you
part.
You could actually
that
see it, okay. Like tangible.
Yeah, exactly. Where some of these other IPOs where it's like, oh my God, like this is going to be the next DATS. Well, they're inside a quiet period for like the next month, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, some of them. So they're not going to be releasing any news. So if the entire small cap market is inside like the kind of this downtrend, then you have to keep that in mind. Because what is going to be the reason for this IPO to go up right now? You know, like it doesn't have a low market cap. Yes. But if they're not allowed to release any news, what is really going to be the reason for them to go up? So that's something to keep in mind. Now, if the chart changes on some of these that have gotten killed and it starts uptrending, fine, that might be a reason. But from a fundamental catalyst standpoint, you have to ask yourself, what is the reason right now for this to change?
We got two little topics here. One's finding your strategy as a trader without much success, kind of, you know, as a newer trader. And the other one being credit. Which one do you want to dive into first here?
We can do credit first since you know, Black Friday holidays, is upon us, yeah. And the holidays are upon us. Go ahead.
No, I mean, I was just going to say, I mean, I know you're a big credit guy. You want everyone to make sure no one's in debt and everything. So time of the year to do it.
My biggest thing, okay, I love trading, but I can get behind the fact that not everybody is going to love trading. Like I can get behind that, you know, like I'm not stoked when people are like, I don't like managing my portfolio, but I can understand. I can empathize with that, especially because my parents didn't look at their 401ks for like 15 years. Like I was the person to look at their 401ks. So I can empathize with that. But I also have a passion inside personal finance because I truly feel that everybody should at least want to educate themselves on how they can do little things to increase, you know, really increase their net worth. You know, like that's what all this kind of comes down to. Like when we went out to that college and we were talking about credit cards and we were saying that, you know, opening the difference between, you know, maybe $50,000 to $100,000 in loan repayment on your house at 35 can be the difference of starting a credit card at 18. Like that, like most people don't understand that, but that's true. Like that is a real thing. So when it comes down to it, I really do have that passion for personal finance and I like it and I'm starting to enjoy it just a little bit more because I, you know, I truly do think that everyone should care about it. So with the holidays coming up, it is really, really, really easy to just swipe your credit card. I mean, it is incredibly easy. So there's two things I want to get into. One is kind of how to fight that FOMO a little bit. And then two, the difference between credit and debit cards. Because a lot of people don't actually know the difference between credit and debit. For anyone that doesn't know, your debit card is usually linked to a bank account, or you can even link it to your TD Ameritrade account. And that money, when you swipe it, comes directly out of that account. So you have to have that cash present. If you go over, it's a over withdrawal fee or whatever. A credit card is like you're borrowing money. So you borrow money from, let's call it American Express, and then you pay them back after your statement period or whenever your due date is. Now, a lot of people fight with me because because let's take Dave Ramsey, for example. Dave Ramsey hates credit cards because he doesn't think he should be borrowing money. Now, I am in line with a lot of what Dave Ramsey says and thinks and his psychology behind things. But the one thing that I don't agree with is him not loving credit cards. Because at the end of the day, there's a few things that credit cards do that debit cards don't. And part of that is the security. American Express, if someone steals my credit card or even guesses, let's just say they somehow guess my credit card number and the expiration date and all that, and they swipe my credit card, American Express, if I go to them and say, hey, I didn't swipe that, they will actually fight that case for me. The debit card, if that happens with a debit card, you've already paid for it. So you're kind of screwed. When you use that credit card, there's kind of like that middleman that gives you that security. Because at the end of the day, if you don't pay them, it's still kind of on them. So they kind of do give you that little bit of security. The next thing is that by using a credit card, let's take a $500 credit card maximum, balance. And you pay that off for years and years and years, you're going to become what's called a trustworthy, you're going to become a trustworthy creditor. And so they're going to increase that expenditure, increase that loan, and they're going to allow you to borrow more money because they trust you more. And when they trust you more, you're not going to be as high risk. So even though your credit card might only have a $1,000, $2,000 limit, when you go to buy that house at 35, they're going to look at your credit card score and they're going to say, okay, I've been using, Dan's been using his credit card for 15 years. He's never missed a payment. And although he has a lower credit limit, it doesn't matter because he pays it off every time. And so because he's less of a risk, on this house, this $400,000 house that he wants to buy, we're going to give him a 2% lower interest rate. When you do the math on a 30-year mortgage, that can literally be the difference of $50,000 to $100,000, depending on the loan. But my point is that 1 or 2 percentage points can really make the difference. And that comes down to your debit and your credit, because your debit card is not going to build you any credit. So that is why, similar to like why I'm a fan of Roth over other retirement accounts, I have my reasons. It doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to be the same things that are important to you or priority to you, but that's the reason that I personally like credit cards over debit cards. Now, that being said, the issue with credit cards and the reason that Dave Ramsey doesn't like them, we touched on it earlier, is because you are borrowing money at the end of the day. And if you borrow money that you don't have, you can get yourself screwed. I have a friend who has $100,000 in credit card loans. The interest rate on those credit card loans are like 15%. That means that 15,000.
It's like going to one of those like title loans, quick cash kind of things, where it's like 40%.
When he told me, man, I'll tell you. So that means that on that 15%, with a 15% on that $100,000 every single year, he's at least paying $15,000 in interest. So if he pays, so let's just say that he pays down $24,000 a year, $2,000 a month, which is a lot of money. He's only paying off 9% of the principal when it comes down to it. I mean, that is how the rat race starts, because then you have to borrow money to live, and then you get a loan on top of that, and then you file for bankruptcy, then you can't get a house, and then you can't get a car. It's honestly like a big rat race that we could go into. So if you cannot be responsible with a credit card,
it ends up with you on meth, so.
I mean, there's a few ending spots, but yeah, I mean, there's a potential. So if you can't trust yourself with credit, don't do that. Or just make sure that your limit's low. The one thing that, because a lot of times, I get homies that are in college and they want to know what credit card they should open.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time.
The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
My name is Johnny B. Good, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, CentraTech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, Dan and I talked about this at a school, what was that, in September? And yeah, in September. And so the one thing is, if two things, if you're a student or if you file for bankruptcy and you are still inside that 7-year period and you're trying to build up some credit, open up a Discover It card. Now, the difference between the Discover card and the other cards is that it works in a way where, like, you have to pay off the balance before you use the balance, or they'll just give you like a super low limit, like $250, I think my first credit card ever was. And what that's going to do is that's kind of like your baby leap. And then in a year later, open up like an American Express Gold card. And then a year later, open up like a Chase Freedom card, or actually do the Chase Freedom card first and then the American Express, because most of the time the American Expresses are going to have a yearly fee. So that's what I would do. And then that's going to give you a really good, you know, the Discover card is not really going to give you any rewards points. The American Express is going to give you the rewards points. And the Chase Freedom is just going to kind of give you like 1 or 2% cash back on like everything, which is great. And that's going to give you a really, you know, and then in 5 years, you can build up, you know, if you're just buying coffee on this and you're buying Christmas presents, like, you can get your credit card score high. And that's going to, you know, if you're 18, 19, you can build up by the time that you're 30. I mean, you'll have an 850 credit card score, even if you only make, you know, minimum wage, let's call it. Now,
what if your credit's already fucked?
Well, that's the thing, is that you have to work yourself back up. You know, so the cool thing is that similar to going to jail, or, you know, there, or what is it? What's it called? Statute of limitations.
Statute of limitations. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Statute of limitations. Similar, like if you file for bankruptcy, then, you know, it follows you, but it does, you know, things do start to wean off of your record, similar to, you know,
statute of limitations is like if you commit a crime like 20 years later, you can't get charged with it anymore. So think, maybe.
Well, then what is it? What is it? Like in high school, we get caught smoking pot, like 5 years later, it's off your record. What's that called?
Expunged?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. Hugh was always a good kid.
On your record, man.
Dude, Hugh never got caught smoking pot behind the bleachers. You know what I mean?
I got caught smoking pot in a lot of places.
Really?
I mean, it wasn't like I was the best at hiding it, but I mean, now it's cool. You can just smoke weed in Target if you have adaptants. I mean, it's whatever. Like, times have changed.
Yeah. But so that's what I'm trying to say is that all of this takes time. But hey, listen, if I told you that, you know, if I told you that all you have to do is open up a credit card, buy coffee on it and pay it back for the next 5 years, and that's a difference of $50,000. I mean, who the hell wouldn't do that? That's my point when I'm trying to get to all this. Now, the other thing is, and this is like the frugal side of
it. Wait, I thought I was supposed to make coffee at home, and now I'm supposed to buy it with a credit card.
Well, no, you are supposed to buy it at home. But if you have like a 5-figure day and you want to go buy a dollar coffee, okay, like, I'm okay with that.
And that'll save me $50,000.
Well, that's the thing. Is that dude? I just explained it.
It was just. Now I'm gonna start going to McDonald's a little more to get my dollar coffee with my Apple.
I'm just saying that when it comes down to it, okay, if you can get your credit card score inside the 800s and you have a credit history of about 10 years, that's gonna give you a real substantial difference when you go and get a loan. So if you buy like $1 million house,
well, you know what sucks though is the fucking they're like, hey man, your credit's great, but you don't have enough history. And I was like, well, man.
That's where I'm at. That's where I was at for the last like 3 or 4 years.
So now I was like, well, fuck, I guess I'll just pay off half the car and just pay off the rest of it to build my fucking credit. They're like, well, you don't have enough credit to get a loan. And I was like, well, then how the fuck am I going to build my credit if I can't get this fucking loan? And yeah, so that's that was what I mean, my though. Personal is that, rat race.
That's a big, yeah, it comes down to, now think about if you had just started using credit, you know, this year at 20, what are you, 26?
Well, when I 27? Got the car, it was my first year using credit. That was the issue.
So that's what I mean is that imagine, okay, now imagine this crazy clusterfuck, because now we're getting into the fun areas. Imagine that you go through college, you have $100,000 in student loans, no credit history, and then you try and buy a house. They're going to screw you on the interest rates. I mean, they're truly going to screw you because you have no history. Which means that, you know, nobody knows if you're able to pay this off. So they're going to give you, so they have to, you know, back themselves. So they're going to give you a super high interest rate. When they give you a super high interest rate, you know, if that's not, if you run into some catastrophic, you know, terror or some shit, then, and you can't pay that off, then you have to borrow another
natural disaster.
I remember that episode. But my point is that it truly is a rat race. So if you don't have 3 credit cards, open up another one and then open up another one in a year. Now, if you can't trust yourself with credit, I mean, seriously, you should still have credit cards, but you could just cut them up. It's better if they just sit there than you overspending. The other thing is that check out, like, I know for a fact that American Express, like, I get like $80, like, I think I get $10 free in Uber every year. I mean, every month.
You get one free Uber a month, like half a mile. Sick.
Yeah,
dude.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
No, okay, but the thing is that these little things add up. Like Saks Fifth Avenue, I've never shopped at Saks Fifth Avenue, but I get like $50 free every quarter from them. So I bought a $49 shirt from them. Like fuck it, why not? You know, like, it's free. And like, don't tell mom this, but one of mom's Christmas gifts was paid for thanks to American Express and the rewards points. You know, and that might be one of her big Christmas gifts. But so my point is that, like, you can do little things that, like, will seriously help out. Like, it's important, and your credit truly is important. Like, we joke around a lot about you know, just pay for everything in cash and stuff. And I truly do believe that you should pay for, you know, that you should pay off your credit card loans. I mean, your credit cards almost immediately. Like, I pay off my credit card, you know, probably every other day. And so it basically becomes like a debit card. But if you are the type of person that you know that you won't be able to do that, then just get a Discover card and cut it the fuck up. Because at the end of the day, the worst thing that can happen is you owe on your credit cards. Because those loans, as I said about my friend, like, they add up quickly. And again, interest rates are low right now. So if interest rates rise, you know, those loans can go up to 20% easily. I'll stop ranting on this subject, but you can easily fuck yourself with this stuff. But again, it's important and it's essential.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
My name is Johnny B. Good, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, Centratech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of Bitcoin, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's all.
All right, well, next topic then. We're done talking about credit cards and shit. So a lot of new traders, it's tough to find a strategy because there's so many strategies out there, and you want one to work. We always talk about use your strategy. But as a new trader, you don't have that strategy. Let's say you even did the paper trading route and, you know, you thought it worked, and then you get into it and your emotions kind of fuck with you. And so that won't work. So like, how exactly can a newer trader find their strategy? I mean, I remember like I quit before I found my strategy and had to dive back in, you know. It was one of those things where my strategy just, every single one I took just didn't work until I finally was like, okay, I am a scalper, and I was Chell Scalp.
Yeah. So the biggest thing is that I'm hearing is basically is that it's really easy to roll through strategies without truly trying them out. And when you do that, you know, obviously you're not going to give them enough sample size. Like, yes, there are tons of strategies out there and you want to find the one that fits you. But it's going to be similar to, and I don't like this example because I don't know if this is the right example, but it's similar to like finding a job. You know, you can go, first off, you got to go to college and pick a degree.
I'm a fan of college.
I'm a fan of college.
Yeah, dude, no college football. Good point.
I can't. But my point is that first you have to pick a degree field, and then you go in that degree field and there's so many different jobs that you could do and nobody knows what exactly to do. And
there should be a flow chart. Like, hey, are you emotional?
You know me, bro.
Yes. Okay. Stop loss. Yeah. It's like,
but seriously, like that's it is a hard thing. Like, I truly do feel blessed that I was able to find trading and that I still love trading. Like, I lost like 150 grand yesterday and I still love this shit. You know, like most people probably wouldn't say that. So my point is that when you're finding a strategy, it takes time. Okay. All of this takes time. Like it does suck that it does take this much time, especially when you go on Twitter and you see people like today. I saw some guy on Reddit. Listen to this shit. He had $700 and he YOLO'd them into Zoom expiring tomorrows or something. And they were super out of the money and they hit. And they turned $700 into 50 grand. And then he did, the very next day, he rolled that $50,000 into SPY puts expiring the next day, pretty far out of the money. And you turned into like $120,000.
If so I were him, I would have done margin and put 100 grand into the SPY puts and got 200 grand. So that's just me.
It seems like a no-brainer. Like, yeah, I mean, just gotta think about it.
I mean, I knew SPY was gonna dump 2%, you know.
But that's my point, is that so like when you see stuff like that, it's like me. It's like, yeah, like of course I wanna go fucking, you know, balls deep in SPY puts tomorrow, you know, but I'll lose everything, you know, just like everybody else. But my point is that all this takes time and it's not easy with social media. Everyone you know, making just
shows
stupid money.
Not many people show their losses. Everyone shows their gains and you just see them all and you're like, man, well, fuck this. Like everyone else is balling because every day someone's going to be green. So every day you're going to see someone on social media post about how good their day was. And I mean, yeah, no, I mean, and it's like every other social media where you see, damn, wow, this chick is always in Ibiza. No, she just bought 12 outfits to Ibiza and just posts the pictures all year long.
Well, that was a pretty good analogy. That was impressive. Is that personal?
I miss her so much, man. Damn it. I just wish she'd come back, you know?
Yo, also, hey, can I just say something real quick? Yesterday we did that radio tour, and when the guy was like, what did he say to us? He said, it feels like we're all doing this together or something. Do you remember what he said? The arrow, we liked him a lot.
Okay, yeah, the conversational one.
Yeah. And he said, like it feels like everybody's just inside the same room as us. Like that made me smile a lot.
Yeah, no, it was like, you know, props to us, baby. We're giving it our best shot.
Hey, you know, like we're actually making this work. Like props to us, baby. incredible. But anyway, where were we? What were we talking about? Strategies, finding the right strategy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, no, because social media makes it so, you know, everyone.
Social media makes it so hard. Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay, yeah. But it's like finding the right girl. You know what I mean? It's like finding the right partner. You know, you have to go through the bad.
You might have to get a divorce.
Oh, what's that movie?
And that means you lost half your money. So you don't want to go through a divorce. But, you know, sometimes
it happens. Or it's like that movie where they get married three times. You know, like you find the perfect girl and then you fook things up because you think she's not the one. And then you go back to her and then you get divorced again. And then you go back to her. Like,
bro,
like
my trading strategy sometimes feels like the movie 50 First Dates, where I just wake up. And I'm like, what the fuck happened? Like, who are you?
So the thing is, the point that I'm trying to get here is that you truly do need patience. One of the things that I would try and do is that if I were redoing this, and I still try out different strategies, is that I would create a whole separate account just to dedicate to that one strategy. And most of the time I'll put in $25,000 just so that I can day trade with it. But, you know, if I were everyone else, or, you know, if you are successful already, then, you know, put $500 into that account. And if it's something like day trading, just buy with one share. That's going to give you the flexibility to where it's not going to screw it up if everything tanks. But inside the same token, if it does work, you can now scale up. Because at the end of the day, we always talk about this, but the worst thing that can happen is that wow, where the fuck was I going with that?
Worst thing that can happen is you lose your 50%. Money trying to learn new strategies to where you can't your other strategies. But I mean, I would say do it with more like 10 shares because you need to. I mean, scaling out should be a big part, or scaling in and shit like that should be at least a big part of, I mean, any newer traders, strategy just to secure gains. And with that, you know, it's, you know, you can say, hey, this is, if I sell two, it's 20% of my position. If I sell five, it's 50%. Or I just sell nine and I'm letting just 10% ride because it went up X amount, you know?
Yeah, I like that. I like that a lot. Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing, though, is that, but if you start to see success, you know, scale up a little bit, or if you're feeling frisky. But the last thing that you want to do is throw, you know, $5,000 and lose 50% of the account. And even more so is that you got to have patience with it. You know, like it's going to take you probably a quarter to figure out if that strategy works for you. Like that's what it truly comes down to. Like if I were you, I would treat it like I would figure out, first off, similar to college, like we were just talking about, is that I would figure out what field you want to be in. Like, are you okay with swinging things, or can you not, like, or will you just be, you know, eye blitzed and, you know, be all fucked up if you're swinging things overnight? You know, like if you can't handle that, then obviously don't do that.
You're right with the classes and shit, though. It's kind of like, you know, the first class you take could be awesome. You know, that's just the market being hot. And then you get to financial accounting and you're like, oh, fuck, maybe supply chain management isn't for me. And I failed it twice and I ended up dropping out.
Yeah, you get to the weed out
personal story, but.
Yeah, like what is it, Orgo for doctors or something, or some nonsense like that?
Dude, I couldn't make it in business school. You think I could get a fucking you think any patient would allow me close to them?
But seriously, but I do think that it's important that if I were everyone and I was inside like kind of the situation you were just talking about, to where it's like, you know, maybe I tried what I felt like is every single strategy and I'm looking for a new strategy. You know, I would first, since you kind of tried out all of them, then, or what you feel is like all of them, then, you know, figure out if you can swing trade or day trade. And then based on that, are you more technical or are you more fundamental? You know, if you're like a fundamental trader and you're trading from the day trading side, then maybe it's one of those things where, like, you know, if you know that a company just released like a fluff PR, maybe you're more of a short trader.
News scanner up, you know? If you're going to be like, I'm a day trader and you're more fundamental, you got to have that news chart up. But if you're more technical, you got to have charts up, you know? And if you realize you're a swing trader and it's a fundamental thing, you got to have fucking earnings reports up, you know? It's shit like that. It almost is a flow chart. We may need someone to make it.
Make a flowchart, homies. So that's what I think that comes down to is that you got to kind of figure out, are you a day trader or are you a swing trader? And you can be both. That's okay. But you can be both. It just comes down to really figuring that out and then taking a quarter, you know, and then once you figure that out, maybe identify three or four strategies and do that for the next year. You know, 2022 is coming up. We have about 5 weeks left inside the market this year, you know, so maybe you learn as much as you can about the different strategies, hone down into three or four, and for the next three quarters, try out three different strategies on top of, you know, maybe your quote unquote successful one. If you already are like a successful trader, or if you're just getting into it, try out those three strategies, you know, one the first quarter and then one the second quarter. And then let's just say that you're super successful with the first one, that's fine, keep that one up, but then start another account for the second one. You know, maybe scale up into the first one and try the second one, and maybe you even make some money on the side, you know, stuff like that. And then then once you get to the fourth quarter, so where we're at this time next year, you know, maybe you have like a great win rate, like maybe you have like a 60% 70% win rate, and your account is up 300% on the year. Like that's what we want to see, because at the end of the day, is that if you can do that, and it takes you 1 year to learn an entire strategy. And what I mean by learn, I mean like get down the basics, get down the fundamentals, get down a systematic strategy. And then from there, you can replicate that. You know, we got 20. Once you figure out your systematic strategy, and once you can replicate that, and once you create, you know, you have that win rate, you know, then it's all like muscle memory at that to a certain degree, you know, and it comes down to muscle memory and removing different variables. Because once you have it down, I mean, it's over. You know, it's like riding a bike. It's kind of like, perfect analogy.
Yeah, and you'll always know you'll be able to get back on that bike. Like, you'll always know, hey, if I'm losing money, I just need to sit back, get back to my strategy. And another good thing when it comes to learning it is find people to trade with. Like, that are trying the same strategy and maybe adding on some different ones as well. And I mean, that's how you perfect scanners. That's how you perfect trades. Like we always say, someone can make a ton of money off the exact same stock that someone lost a ton on. And I think that's like the beauty in all of it is the more voices, you know, as long as they're there to help you, are always going to be good. So just having people around, even if they're learning the same thing, they can, you know, trial and error together eliminates one mistake for yourself. Put that shit on a book.
Yeah, baby.
All right, fellas. Well, Thanksgiving is tomorrow. So everyone, enjoy your time with your friends and family. And remember to be thankful for, you know, the shit you got. Especially if you're a full-time trader, you don't got to go to work. And if you're trading at all, I mean, it's an awesome thing. So let's all love each other and be thankful for each other. Put that shit on a book too. Love y'all. See y'all Sunday. Ho, 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 gentlemen. The holidays came early here at Manscaped, the leading men's hygiene brand. Manscaped just launched new products, including their all-new Ultra Premium Body Wash and a 2-in-1 shampoo and conditioner. It's time to give yourself, or someone who needs it, the gift of beautiful skin, hair, and balls this holiday season. Go to manscaped.com and use code PGIR for 20% off and free shipping.
Penny's Going in Raw is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's brand new season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedeta. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.